Such persons
Paramasya
toward the process of religion.
Asya
this.
Adantapa,
Parantapa,
O killer of the
enemy.
Aprapya,
without obtaining.
Mam,
me.
Nivartante,
come back.
Refuge
of death.
Samsara,
in
material existence.
In material existence. Varmani,
on the path. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Purport. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is the most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, by giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs, and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is called faith. Om Jnanatinirantasya Jnandrana Shavakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Kutale Svayam Rupa Padamainam Tathati Chapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagrashatam Sahagana Gaganatam Sam Sivam Sadvaitam Shavakrutam Prajana Savitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanavasya. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Tanavangi Hori Priye Vanchako Katarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyaye Nirvidanam Vamanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ashradhana Purusha, Paramasyasya Padantana, Aprapyamam Nivartante, into samsara mara. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Prabhu Sujata is joy. Krishna Bhakti Koyo Sarvakarma. Faith means to be convinced that simply by serving Krishna, I'll perform, I'll satisfy all of your necessities. Everything else I need to do will be accomplished if I simply do this one thing, serve Krishna. Vishvas Kori Sudhita, Krishna Bhakti Kaila, Sarvakarma, all other duties will be included. Krishna Bhakti. Therefore, there are so many readers of Bhagavad Gita who don't have faith in this process. Dharmas Yasya. Or so many people, so called Hindus, but they don't read Bhagavad Gita yet. Maybe they know a verse or two, yada yada hi pramasya. But they don't read Bhagavad Gita, nor do they understand Bhagavad Gita. They have some hodgepodge notion. Or they read it and still they don't understand it. Because they don't read it under the guidance of a devotee of Krishna. As Prabhupada points out, there are two kinds of commentaries, those by the devotees and those by the non-devotees. The Bhagavad Gita is meant for the devotees. Bhaktosimesakacheti, rahasyandeti. My dear Arjuna, you can understand the science because you're a devotee. That means those who are not devotees won't understand. Or a person who has faith in the Bhagavad Gita, even though he may not be a devotee of Krishna, he actually has faith that yes, this Bhagavad Gita is the right source of knowledge, the right source of guidance. Then after reading Bhagavad Gita, as Srila Prabhupada says, he'll promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita and surrender to Krishna. Sarva karman pratyaja mam ekam shayana. This is faith. Just Arjuna, yatejasita taku. My dear Arjuna, do as you like. Kodeshe vachanam. Yes, now I'll do what you say. I've explained to you the whole Bhagavad Gita. Now it's up to you. What do you want to do? Yes. Now my illusion is gone. Nashtamoha smithir bhakta, tad prasada mayachuta, by your mercy, I'm free from illusions. Stithosmi gadasandeya. I'm situated in my rightful position. Kodeshe vachanantava. I'll do what you say. This is faith. This is faith. I've heard everything you've said, but I won't do it. What is that? I've heard what you say, but I have my own idea. What is that? Yes, I know you say, Ma mekam sharanam raja. But what about Lord Shiva? What about Durga? What about Ganesh? What about Krishna? Ma mekam sharanam. Krishna says, you surrender to me, and everything will be accomplished. Everything else will be accomplished. Ma mekam sharanam. Just surrender to me. Aham tvam sarvapadevyo mokshishtam. What are they doing? Invite them to come. It takes just seeds to talk to. As by putting food in the stomach, one feeds all the limbs of the body, as by pouring water on the root of the tree, one waters all the leaves and branches, so simply by serving Achyuta, Krishna, one serves all the demigods, all forefathers, all family members. What about my family? What about my parents? What about my this? What about my that? No, you surrender to Achyuta and serve Achyuta, Krishna, and you'll be serving, rendering the best service to everyone. So this is a Krishna says, those who don't have faith in this process or in this conclusion of our eternal position. Our eternal position is that Krishna is the master and we're the servant. I'm thinking, I'm this body, I'm thinking about my wife, my children, my parents, my friends, my countrymen, my this, my that. But my real identity is that I'm serving to Krishna. These other identities are temporary. I'm the son of such and such. I'm the father of such and such. I'm the mother of such and such. Brother or sister. These are temporary identities, temporary designations. Jivar Sharupoi Krishna to Das. My eternal identity is that I'm serving to Krishna. If I forget that eternal identity and become absorbed in these temporary identities, then the Prabhupada Vartante, how will I achieve Krishna? I'll take, just like Puranjana Maharaj, he thought of his wife at the time of death. And in his next life, he became a woman. People are absorbed in material thought. There was an airplane crash some years ago. And the investigators recovered the black box where the conversations of the pilot are recorded. And the plane is going down, and the pilot sees that it's out of control, that there's nothing now that he can do. He calls out, "I love you, Mom!" And the plane crashes. Simply thinking in terms of this body. At the time of death, he'll think of his mother only. Then, again, come back as a woman, that's all. Aprapyamam nivartate, rintu samsara vartate. Come back as a woman, come back as a man, come back as a fish, come back as a dog, come back as a tree. But come back. Rintu samsara, samsara means the wheel of repeated birth and death. Mrityu samsara, the repeated birth or death. On that path, one will not continue. Aprapyaman, how will one attain Krishna without thinking of Krishna? It's not that one simply thinks of anything and he goes to Krishna. One simply worships anyone and goes to Krishna. One simply does anything and goes to Krishna. Krishna says, manmana bhava madbhakta, madhyaji mam namaskar. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and come to me. I guarantee you'll come back to me because you're my devotee, you're my friend. Because you're dear to me, I guarantee you'll come to me. No, well, I don't know. How can I be sure? All right, then. Reduce samsara and remain on the path of birth and death. conclusion is that one should not remain on that path of birth and death. One should surrender to Krishna with faith in Krishna. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna consciousness. In the third class are those who have no faith, even if they are officially engaged in devotional service. They cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably, they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. And as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. So this is called a prakritabhakta, or a third class devotee. He doesn't have very much knowledge, practically he doesn't have knowledge, and he doesn't have faith. Maybe by good association he's become a little attracted. Maybe he was in distress and he's thinking that he can get out of it by this Krishna consciousness, or he's thinking that Krishna consciousness will solve his economic problems. He has some motive, but he doesn't develop transcendental knowledge. He doesn't develop strong faith. Generally, he doesn't follow the process. If we don't follow the process, one who has faith will follow the process. I may not know very much, just like Arjuna did agree, that I'm bewildered, so I surrender to you. That's faith. So a faithful person who places himself under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master can make progress. Otherwise, if one is still under the direction means, then I'll follow. The spiritual master says, no gambling, no intoxicants, no illicit sex, no meeting. So the faithful disciple agrees, yes, I'll follow. Chant 16 minutes, yes, I'll do that. And you continue to follow this process, and you'll be purified. So the faithful devotee, yes, fortunate person has faith. Yes, if I let me do this, then he'll be promoted. Otherwise, if he comes and his faith remains very, very weak, and he doesn't develop knowledge, if it's only by sentiment that he comes, sentiment is fickle. Today I come on sentiment, tomorrow I leave on sentiment. Today I like it, tomorrow I don't like it. Well, that kind of sentimental acceptance, without much knowledge, without real faith, is not likely to endure. But if we take up the process, that will help us. The process means hearing from the message of Krishna in books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. It means serving under the direction of the spiritual master. It means chanting and hearing. By chanting, by hearing, we'll receive transcendental knowledge. By serving, we'll advance in transcendental knowledge. And by advancement in knowledge and faith, we can come to the second class platform, or even eventually to the first class platform. Otherwise, a person who remains third-class devotee is a candidate for slipping away and returning to the material pool. This word, loop, you're familiar with this term, loop. Prabhupada came actually from a lecture. Prabhupada was saying that a person who doesn't follow the process will again fall into the ocean of material existence. And Prabhupada made that sound bloop. So it became a popular term among Prabhupada's followers. But it's descriptive that we fall back into the ocean of material existence. Or else we make progress. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in literatures on devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first-class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have the firm faith that Krishna Bhakti or service to Krishna is the best course, and so in good faith they have taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the second class, and for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there's no chance of falling down. One in first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is not his very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures, like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency toward karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First class attachment, second class attachment, and third class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. So three stages of devotees, Vinishtadhikari, Vajramadhikari, Uttamadhikari. First, third class, second class, and first class. The third class have very little faith. It's called Kamala Shraddha. Kamala Shraddha means pliable faith. I have a little bit of faith, but someone comes and says, what are you doing this for? Why are you doing that? You're wasting your life. And then I think, because I don't have knowledge and my faith is not strong, so I can easily be deviated or pulled away by knowledge. But one in the second class may not have full knowledge, but he has some knowledge and his faith is strong. Even if he may be defeated in an argument, he doesn't give up. He knows that actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am his servant. Let me continue with this process. So he is the second class devotee. Some knowledge he should have, and faith he should have. Not weak faith, but stronger faith and stronger knowledge also. And the first class devotee has full faith, strong faith, and he has extensive knowledge also. So he's the first class devotee.
Thank you.
So these three stages of devotees, three kinds of devotees are described in Srimad Bhagavatam: first class, second class, and third class, according to the development of faith and development of knowledge. Those who have no faith, even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it's simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them, there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus, faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. Any questions? I thought we were putting the cameras in the pockets. Yes?
Is it possible for one not to have faith and still remain in devotional service?
Is it possible for one not to have faith and still be in devotional service? He has to have a little faith, otherwise how would he come?
The last thing you read said, even though they are practicing devotional service, but they don't have faith.
Yeah, it means they have some faith, but it's very weak. He has at least enough faith to come. Some initial faith is there, but it's so slender, it's so weak, that unless that faith grows stronger, he's not so likely to stick to the process. Whatever he does will be good for him, but whatever progress he makes. But unless the faith becomes strong, when the faith is weak and stays weak, then he's always in problems. I don't know if I should stay, I don't know. My mother is missing me, and I don't know, what about my education, what about my job, what about my kids, what about my dad? There's so many what abouts. He spends his time always in confusion and doubt, thousands of doubts. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? What about Allah? There's so many religions. How do I know that this religion is true? What's the problem? It's fine. Yeah. So, why did you mess with this? Okay. Maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should read some other books, maybe I should consult an astrologer. I don't know what I should do. Because his faith is so weak, at any time he can just kind of jump ship or disappear, or his girlfriend calls him and says, "What are you doing this for? What about me?" And he thinks, "Yeah, what about her?" Because he doesn't have strong knowledge, he doesn't have strong faith. So then he goes back to the girlfriend, and the girlfriend dumps him. Sometimes he doesn't chant, sometimes he follows, sometimes he doesn't follow. But when faith is very weak, it's hard to make progress. If I'm traveling on a road and I don't have faith in the road, then I'm always thinking, maybe I'm on the wrong road, maybe I should go back, maybe I should take a different road, I don't know what I should do, am I going the right way? If I have faith in the road, then I move full speed ahead. If I don't have faith in the road that I'm on, then I'm always thinking whether I should go in a different direction, or maybe I should just stop and wait and figure it out. So faith is important.
I was thinking the obstacles on the path of the devotion of like following the principles and following the rules instructions. My question is, what about the obstacles that don't come from external obstacles, the rather obstacles from following the four-related principles? Like you actually keep to the four-related principles and you find it difficult to make advancements still. What was the cause?
You're following the four regular principles, but you still find it difficult to make advancement. There may be different causes. Generally, the causes are offenses. There are 10 kinds of offenses in chanting the holy name. To disobey the words of the bona fide spiritual master, blaspheme the devotees who are dedicated their lives to the holy name of the Lord, to minimize the importance of Vedic literature and pursuance of the Vedic literature, to think that the chanting of the glories of chanting the holy name is sort of act up, or to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. Think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is another one of those pious activities, like doing fire sacrifices or some ritual. So this is also a nice ritual, like we'll chant Hare Krishna. To think that the demigods are on the same level as the personality of Godhead. To think there's no difference, but we'll chant Hare Krishna, and then we'll go chant Om Namah Shivaya, and we'll chant something else. Because there's really no difference. That's no difference. To commit sinful activities, spraying the holy name. Well, I'm a devotee, so Krishna will understand. I'm chanting, so the reaction won't be, maybe there'll be no reaction, or it won't be very severe. Krishna will understand. I'm a devotee, I can do this. Simple activities and the strength of chanting the holy name of the Lord's defense. To instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name and not to have complete faith in chanting the holy name and maintain material attachments. It's by hearing some of the instructions. Generally, we're not making steady advancements because of these offenses. One should not blaspheme the devotees. One should think that all the devotees are great because they're engaged in the service of Krishna. And the small devotees are great because they've given their lives to Krishna. Shaiva, jay, shaiva. Shouldn't minimize the importance of the devotees. Shouldn't minimize the importance of the spiritual master. Shouldn't minimize the importance of the books. Should minimize the importance of the holy name. And should have faith in this.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Addicted to bad-mouthing other devotees. That means he's neophyte. Another way of judging neophyte devotees, 33 classes of devotees. So the third class only sees Krishna and himself. He's interested in Krishna in relationship to himself, but he doesn't recognize the other devotees. The second class devotee worships the Lord, preaches to the innocent, avoids the demons, and makes friends with the devotees. And the first class sees everyone as a devotee. So those who are engaged in bad-mouthing the other devotees are Jivitas. And they may become less than third class because of committing offenses.
The main object was in Nigeria, grant this problem. Because when new people are coming to the temple building, they start hearing all this, so it's affecting how seriously that the new person starts having second thoughts about these people who like saying this about each other. So it's disturbing.
Practically, the new people are right. If the association is an association where everybody criticizes everyone else, why do I want to join? They'll just criticize me. Any intelligent person can understand. Their community is a community where they all criticize one another. If I join, I become the next candidate for being criticized. Why should I be so foolish as to join such a community? Is that what my life is? What I want to live my life is? Join a mutual criticism society? The business of the devotee is to glorify the devotees, to appreciate the other devotees. Even Krishna glorifies his devotees. Krishna is great, he's the greatest, and still he thinks, I'm great because of my devotees. The devotees are greater than I am. And he appreciates the service of even the smallest devotee. So, are we so great that we can criticize all others? That's a formula for fall down, everyone. And as you say, it's a turnoff. It's a sign to newcomers that this is a community that we should probably not. But we keep our distance from. We like the books. We like the kirtan. We'll come and enjoy the kirtan. We'll read the books and then we'll go away. We'll keep our distance. Because the people are strange. But if the community is a community where there's love between the devotees, where there's genuine friendship among the devotees, and that's attractive. It means that we're Krishna conscious. Krishna is the friend of all living beings. All these devotees are in relationship with Krishna. But in less than third class, loving Krishna means loving Krishna and his devotees also. Serving Krishna means serving Krishna and the devotees also. Not that I only serve Krishna. It's said that if one is engaged in the worship of the deity and a devotee comes, one should stop the worship of the deity, serve the devotee, and then resume the deity. Manpanta puja vyadika. Worship of Krishna, Krishna considers less important than worship of his devotee. Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please counsel us how to build faith.
How to?
Build faith.
Do what with faith?
How to build faith. How to build faith.
How to build faith. Yeah, by associating with those who have faith. We associate with those who are advanced in faith, we'll increase our faith. And if we follow the process, then our faith will increase. If we follow these four regular principles, if we chant 16 rounds a day, if we give submissive oral reception to this message of Krishna, our faith will increase. Practically, the process of devotional service is the process of building our faith. When we follow the process, our faith will grow. Watering, we speak of the plant of devotional service, watering that plant. What is that plant? In one sense, it's the plant of faith. So when we're hearing and chanting and following, avoiding 10 offenses, our faith will grow. Is that okay? Was there another question there? Yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Well, you mentioned of associating with devotees, and what do you mean the case where you don't have association of devotees and
what about the case where you don't have association with devotees? Well, if possible, try to get it. The Chanakya Pandit says that one should not live in a place where there's no doctor, no river, no temple, and no friend. A place where there's no water, no river, you can't get water, how can you live? A place where there's no doctor, your health is at risk. And a place where there's no temple and no friend, is a useless place. So, best is to live in the association of devotees always. Why am I living someplace else? If I have a choice, why should I live away from the devotees? Better to live in the temple or near the temple and get that association. Because what's more important to me? Devotional service or something else? So ideally, one should try like anything to associate with the devotees. If you can't get devotee association, of course then there are other ways. There's books, there's tapes, there's the internet. There's a lot of ways practically you can associate with anyone anywhere in the world these days. So those methods are available. Or by thinking of the devotees. But best is to stay in the community of devotees. Reading the book is also associated. That's also associated. But that association is reinforced when we have the association of the devotees who are following what's in the book or who are discussing the book. To read the book on my own is not as good as reading the book in the association of others who are reading the book. Oh, there's also another way. If you have no association, go out and preach and make devotees and make your own association.
There is a place in one of the Prabhupada's book, he says, is living in the forest, in a lonely place, is more better than coming to the city. Now, how do you go to the village where there is no devotee?
Yeah, to go to the forest is maybe considered better than being in the city, because the forest is in the mode of goodness, and the city is in the mode of passion. Yeah. But to live alone, without the association of devotees, is considered to live in hell. And these days, if we try to practice spiritual life by living alone, we won't be successful. Sooner or later, we'll drift back into some kind of association. So better to, since we're social animals, man is a social animal, we're going to associate with someone. Better to associate with devotees. Something else? So much depends on association. Checks and balance, of course, is a term from, I guess, British jurisprudence, British law. What do you have in mind, check and balance? Courts and lawyers and judgments and courts of appeal, and what do you have in mind?
I think there is, I want to know what is check and balance.
Yeah. Whatever you have, write a check, give it to Krishna, and it has to become no balance left. I don't know, what do you have in mind, check and balance?
Yes, why not yet?
Somebody is going wrong, being at fault, suspected that somebody will correct.
Of course, we have our social system, we have first check is to check yourself so that you'll be in balance. You know, we shouldn't have to rely on courts, and just like a person, maybe someone offers him some drugs, but he, by intelligence, he checks. And maybe he thinks, well, I'd like to. Maybe I should try it. But by intelligence, he checks that impulse. So then he stays in balance. If he doesn't check, then he gets involved in something that could lead to craziness or jail or some of the things. So the first check is to check our mind and check our senses. No one is going to enter your heart and do that for you. That's for you. So we have the scriptures. If I'm thinking of doing something, is this advised in the scriptures? Is this what I should do according to scripture? Is this what my spiritual master has advised me to do, or is it contrary to the instructions of my spiritual master? But you always check with the scriptures, with the guru, with the sadhus, then you'll remain in balance. If you don't check, then you can be off course. So there's that kind of checking, checking with the authorities to see that I'm off course. Then there's another kind of checking. Check sometimes means to consult. Check sometimes means to hold or to pull back. So the senses need to be held in check. The senses want to do anything and everything. But Krishna says, Sva Kama Indriyani Adho Niyantra. should check the senses, regulate the senses. It doesn't mean the senses should be stopped, but they should be engaged only according to religious principles. So no intoxicants, no gambling, no mediating, no losing sense. Tendency may be there for these things, but such tendencies should be checked. The mind should be checked. Krishna says the mind that's uncontrolled is the worst enemy, and the mind that's controlled is the best friend. The mind that's not controlled is the worst enemy. The mind that's controlled is the best friend. So when the mind starts to be uncontrolled and go into territory where we know it shouldn't be going, into nasty thoughts, into useless thoughts, then we should check that. By your mind, you're not allowed to go there. You're not allowed to be your best. Get back under control. See, the mind becomes the friend. Like a driver who's not under your control, who drives wherever he wants, or a driver who's intoxicated, is your worst enemy. And a driver who's sane and who drives according to your direction is very good. So the mind is driving our life. That mind should be controlled. Mind should be Krishna conscious, so that the mind will take us to Krishna. That means that the senses and the mind should be held in check, so that my life will be in balance. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, please, I need some clarification. It is saying that one should give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. What is your opinion about that?
Oh, what belongs to Caesar should be given to Caesar?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Of course, Krishna is the supreme Caesar. So ultimately, everything should be given to Krishna. The context of the comment was that the Jewish legalists were trying to trick Jesus and get him to say something that would get him in trouble. So they asked about this coin and paying taxes or whatever the issue was. They said, all right, whose picture is on the coin? Caesar's picture. All right, that's Caesar's, give it to Caesar. And what belongs gives to God, give to God. So he foiled their trick. But actually, everything belongs to God. But if you're earning money, then you pay your taxes, because that belongs to Caesar. That Gopinath Patanayak was trying to cheat the government, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to say, no, he's cheating the government. Now they've caught up with him. He's going to be punished. Good. That's the government's duty, is to punish those who break the law. So, in that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicated his devotees should be more higher. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question I want to ask. In this temple now, we have two temples, Mahadev's temple and Krishna temple. And also we have two devotees, Lord Shiva devotees and Radha Krishna devotees. Sometimes there appears some misunderstanding between these two devotees. Of the way of worship. So I want to know what is the best way to worship this personality so that the peace will have issue.
Best way to worship Lord Shiva? Is that your asking? Best worship of Radhanana Sarvesham Vishnu Radhanana. Even Vishnu, even Lord Shiva says the best worship is worship of Vishnu. Tasmat Paratharam Devi Tadiyanam Samarsham. Better than worship of Vishnu is worship of his devotees. So we should worship Vishnu and his devotees. Then, if there's a temple of Lord Shiva, then people should worship according to whatever the rules and regulations for that temple are. In Puri also, they worship Lord Shiva, but by giving the prasadam of Lord Jagannath, because the Lord Shiva is a servant of Lord Jagannath. In Vrindavan also, Mahadev is there in Lord Shiva. So, he's worshipped, but not independently. He's worshipped as a great devotee of the Lord.
Right. Is regarding to the temple of Shiva, is the same principle also that we are Shiva Vatika Swami Maharaj has established the temple? Shiva Vatika Swami Maharaj. Shiva Vatika Swami Maharaj.
Dr. Tirthraj?
Yes, he did. He's one who has the temple.
He what?
Yes, he gave the authority to freeze the temple in this because of the Indians. And he gave the principles that we should offer the remnant of the deities to them. But there's some people now who are coming, who are like the devotee of Lord Shiva, and they try to carry some sin out of this, that Shiva is this, and they're creating their own disciple there. So this is like what is referring to. How to make it like this devotee, they're coming out like more and more, and they're causing distractions. This was like what he's talking about.
Indian devotees?
Not Indians.
African.
Africans.
So who's trying to make them Shiva devotees?
There's one of them who's leading them, who's like a Shiva Manta on them. So it's like trying to increase.
So you preach from Bhagavad Gita. Preach from Bhagavad Gita. And this is our temple, and our understanding is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Shiva is his servant. If you want to worship Lord Shiva in some other way, start your own temple. This is an ISKCON Shiva temple. In your ISKCON Shiva temple, we worship Lord Shiva as the servant of Radha Krishna, the servant of Lord Krishna. If you want to worship Lord Shiva in another way, fine. You go someplace else and do it. We have no objection. According to your faith, if you want to be a Shiva Bhakta and worship Shiva as if Shiva were the Supreme Lord, go someplace and do it. There's so many people who are doing so many things. So you can be one of them and go wherever you want and do whatever you want. But this is our Shiva temple. And in our Shiva temple, we worship this way.
Most devotees also have that thought, and
Sometimes they do also monastics, but they even do.
Sometimes we will also what?
Sometimes they are not fully following the principle. And sometimes they also deviate from the actual worship of Krishna. Now, because it is spiritual that whatever state of one has been in the body, that state you attain. So what happened to a devotee who is it?
There's a difference between American English and African English. And I grew up with American English. So I can follow African English if it's slow and clear. Otherwise, if you want to go 60 miles an hour or African English,
okay, so we understood that there are devotees who sometimes don't follow the four revealing principles, sometimes deviate. Okay, now what's the next?
Now, maybe if they fall sick.
If they fall sick.
Now, if they want to leave the body because they are already aware in the scripture what Krishna says about the states.
At that juncture, where do these people go?
Yeah,
if they're not following the four regulative principles, then it's understood that they're not, that their faith is not 100%. There's some discrepancy in their spiritual life. It's very easy to say, yeah, everybody goes, but what is that? It's like graduation. We say that everyone passes. Everyone gets a certificate. No. Whatever score you get on the exam, you'll pass. No. To go back to Godhead means it's a serious business. You have to follow. Now, Krishna is very merciful. He can take anyone under any circumstances, or he can adjust them. But the general expectation is, you don't follow, you don't go. You don't pass the exam. Maybe you get even Paramarsh, who is a great soul. He became deviated by thinking of a deer. He wasn't deviated by a prostitute or by a drug dealer. He's deviated by a little deer. But he began thinking of the deer, and thinking of the deer, and thinking of the deer, and thinking of the deer. And his next life he became a deer. Oh, by virtue of his practice as a deer, he remembered, now this is what's happened to me, and this is why it's happened. So then he corrected. But we shouldn't think that I can just do anything and get the same result. I'll just have my fun and do whatever I'd like, and then at the time of death I'll think of Krishna. It doesn't work that way. Those who practice seriously can be expected to think of Krishna. And those who do not be so serious, run serious risks. Now, is that a question from the kitchen or something, or what?
I'm okay.
Is that okay? That's all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for working with me on that. Some other question? Yes. Maharaj has a question.
When we are talking about checks and balances, you made mention of one comparing himself to the level of a guru, sizing himself. Is it appropriate for a devotee to size and say, how can they be like this? How can it be like this? Is it
appropriate
for a devotee to
say this? How can it be like this? How can it be that? Yeah. He's a devotee, has a guru, and he's asking, did you follow that?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
You're saying that how can I be like a great soul?
Is it appropriate? Exactly.
Saying, how can I be like my guru?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Like my guru means I don't try to be, think, well, my guru is pretty good, but I can be just as good or better. Not like that. But the word is to emulate, to follow in the footsteps of the guru. Just like kids, you know, they want to follow some sports figure or some rock star. They want to be like him, and they start to dress like him, or to talk like him, or you know, wear the same sunglasses he wears. So they want to be like some dog. But to want to be like a pure devotee is good. There's a song like that, isn't it? Anyway, that's nice. And we want to be like the pure devotee. They say like father, like son. So we should be. Prabhupada said, do as I am doing. So we want to be more and more like our spiritual master, like God. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chate Kriya. We want to make our mind one with the order of our spiritual master. So in that way, he chants Hare Krishna, we chant Hare Krishna. He distributes books, we distribute books. He strictly follows regulative principles, we strictly follow regulative principles. He fights with the Maya bodies, we fight with the Maya bodies. You know? Not that we imitate. There's two things, anusara and anukara. Anukara means imitation. You know, if he talks with an accent from a particular part of the world, I'll speak with that same accent. If he walks in a certain way, I'll walk. But it's not just imitation. Or he can do things, I can do the same thing, and those things may not be within my capability, or I may not have the qualification. But to grasp the essence of the spiritual master's instructions and follow them seriously, that's called anusara. Just like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. They were so serious. Raghunath Das Goswami was taking every second day a little butter milk. That's all he was eating. Now if I think, well, he's the standard, I'll also be like Raghunath Das Goswami. I'll go and I'll dress as a Babaji and I'll live in Radhakund and I'll live on buttermilk. Then you'll be a nonsense wrestler. Because you're imitating. But if you think Raghunath Das Goswami was so serious about Krishna consciousness and you try to be serious according to your capability, you'll make progress.
Hare Krishna.
Another question.
You talk about one living dead in the house.
About?
Dead. Standing, keep dead. Okay, let me use cat for example. Cast? Yeah, cast. And the devotee keeping cat in the house, does that mean that he's having the cat?
A devotee is
having a cat.
Having a cat in the house.
A cat.
Yeah.
Or a dog.
Or a dog. Because Prabhupada was saying that when you look for something to serve, and you don't
serve. Yeah, if you don't serve, we're generally recommended to keep the deity of Krishna in your house. So that when you can offer your food to the deity. You can bow down before the deity, you can develop your love for the deity. Otherwise, if you want to keep a cat or a dog in your house and offer food to the cat or dog, and serve the cat or dog, and develop your love for the cat or dog.
So it's not good for you, but it's
not very good. It's also considered low class. These days, now sometimes you'll see Indian people imitating Westerners and they're walking their dog on the beach or something. But in the actual culture, a dog is a dog. In not only Indian culture, but in most cultures of the world, in the traditional cultures of the world, a dog is not a man's best friend. A dog is like a dog. If I call a person a dog, you dog, it means you're the lowest thing. That's the general traditional understanding of dog. The dog is, I mean, how the dog is the man's best friend. What kind of best friend? He licks his behind and then he licks his master's face. Your best friend licks his behind, licks his rump, and then licks your face. Such a nice friend. The dogs are not very clean. They're very good for passing school everywhere and being obnoxious. So the dogs, the cats, they're not recommended. Sometimes they may be kept for a particular purpose. Those who are keeping sheep may keep a dog for herding the sheep. Or a watchdog may be kept for some purpose. But they're kept outside. They're not kept in the house to distribute their fur and saliva everywhere. The dogs are not very clean. Dogs, very hard to find a Brahmin dog. The dogs are not very political in their behavior. Dogs and cats. So better to keep them. Not to keep them, but if they're kept for some reason, can't pass.
You corrected the devotee this morning, the sister devotee this morning. When he chanted the Janirati, he said there is the right business to come back to the same group party. Those ones also chanted. I don't know why.
Srila Prabhupada didn't approve of our chanting Janirati, Janirati in Kirtan. I have testimony to that effect from several reliable sources. How he became angry, even people were chanting Jayaraja. Radharani is not a plaything. In Srimad Bhagavatam, her name isn't even mentioned. Sukadeva Goswami didn't consider himself qualified even to mention the name of Srimad Radharani. And we're just throwing around Jayaraja, Jayaraja. So, where are the Hare Krishna movement? Even we saw that Prabhupada would be walking in Vrindavan, taking his morning walk, and he's walking. And some Brijvasi gentleman is walking the other way, and the gentleman says, Jai Radhe! And Prabhupada would respond, Hare Krishna! In Vrindavan, everyone is chanting Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. And of course, it's not wrong for them to do so. But Srila Prabhupada chanted Hare Krishna. And in the kirtan, he wanted us to chant Hare Krishna. He instructed the temple president of Vrindavan that for the Mangal Arati, this is what I want you to do. Chant the Guru song, that's what he called it, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, and nothing else. Then in the evening, the Gaura Arati, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, and nothing else. So many things have entered into the kirtan, but they didn't enter because Prabhupada told us they should be here. They entered because someone picked them up in Vrindavan, or someone picked it up from in the bhajan cassette, or because someone picked it up here, or someone picked it up there. But our business is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
If you'd like further information on that, you can
you have a computer, you can Google Kirtan Reform Seminar. Kirtan Reform Seminar. Or if someone has a laptop or a key, you can come see me and I will give you a copy. MP3. And text. Kirtan has become a real mess. It's become a real hodgepodge stuff that's into Kirtan. It's not what it was. Not what Prabhupada gave us. You listen to Srila Prabhupada and you listen to his Kirtan, and then you listen to a lot of his country, you'll notice a lot of difference. And, alright, some difference may just be difference. It's not everyone's individual, but some of the difference is just people who added stuff that they picked up here and there. Some of them are totally bogus. They're, you know, bogus things that people pick up and then they add it to the ISKCON Kirtan. Radhe, Radhe, Shyam, Radhe, totally bogus. Or Hindi film buttons that they just pick up as if it was as good as what's coming through the Sampradaya. What is that? Something. So many things that people chant in Vrindavan. And it's not coming from the Sampradaya. We should chant what is coming to us in the simplistic session, not what we pick up in Vrindavan, or we pick up from Indian Bhajan singers or Indian friends. Sampradaya Minina Yay Mantra Stage Palamata. Whatever mantra you're chanting that you haven't received from the Sampradaya will have no benefit. Okay? Yeah? Hold on, you can't be heard without the microphone. You can't be heard without the microphone. Even if you speak loud, your voice is soft.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srimati Radharani what? Yeah.
This one worships the Srimati Radharani with pure devotion. We agree to any Krishna is his role.
She's the eternal
consort of Krishna.
Yeah.
Someone worships Srimati Radharani.
Green girl or something? Srimati Radharani.
I think zero.
The chance of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare is addressed in Srimati Radharani. There's more Hare's in the mantra than there are Krishna's. We're chanting. You need something better? Nata paratro paya sarvedeshu. If you look through all the Vedas, you won't find anything better than these 16 words. Radharani is there, or not? Boycotting Srimati Radharani. By the way, we also hear Jai Bhakti Devi, Jai Bhakti Devi, as if Bhakti Devi and Tulsi is the same. This is another one that we're not chanting. Tulsi Devi is one person, Bhakti Devi is another person. And just because someone went to Mayapur and heard someone chanting Jai Bhakti Devi and Tulsi Bhakti doesn't make it legitimate. There's so many things.
These songs, the question of the song of Jagarani Jai Krishna, very good song.
That's a very good song. It's a very good song. You can chant that song.
Jagarani Jai Krishna.
Jai Vrindavan. It's not that we're boycotting Srimati Radharani, but Srila Prabhupada didn't approve of Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, and he didn't approve. But have you heard of, have you heard any Kirtan Prabhupada chanting Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe? You haven't. Have you heard Prabhupada chanting Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan? Yes.
So that's bona fide, the other we should have looked. It's not that we're boycotting the Srimad Bhagavatam. Go ahead. Is this an RT that begins? Should we stop here and join the RT? Yeah. Okay. Thank you all very much. Where is the Srimad Bhagavatam?